Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. Last weekend, my wife Rita and I had the great fortune to attend the West Coast Ragtime Festival in Sacramento. 3 solid days of nonstop music, song, and dance of the ragtime era. This was our first time at the festival, and we had a wonderful time and are looking forward to attending next year. If we had to lodge a complaint, it would be that with 6 venues going on simultaneously, the most one could possibly take in would be about 17%. So this evening's show is going to be sort of a potpourri, a celebration and recap of the festival. The whole weekend I was jotting down titles of songs that were new to me or that I thought were interesting to use as the basis for the playlist on tonight's show. One of them was A Lemon in the Garden of Love, which was sung by our good friend Ian Whitcomb, accompanied by Adam Swanson. Ian's lovely wife Regina was there as well and sang a number of duets with him, but that wasn't one of them. In any case, I found what I think is the only vintage recording of A Lemon in the Garden of Love. So with best wishes to Ian and Regina, here's Billy Murray.
To my fond imagination, every woman in creation was a peach in the garden of love. In its pleasant shade I wandered, or my choice I slowly pondered as I gazed at the branches above. Filled with fatal indecision, I was dazzled by the vision. All the peaches was so temptingly divine. And my eyesight was affected, for since then I have suspected that I couldn't see when I picked mine. Will someone kindly tell me? Will someone answer why? To me it is a riddle, and it will be till I die. A million peaches round me, yet I would like to know why I picked a lemon in the garden of love, where they say only peaches grow. Though no man perfection reaches in the art of picking peaches, had I started to practice when young, now I'd not be always meeting lemon flavors while I'm eating, and this song might have never been sung. Nor would I be sitting daily trying hard to chatter gaily with a better half of 40 lemon power. One I cannot care a bit for the only thing she's fit for is to make another lemon sour. Will someone kindly tell me? Will someone answer why? To me it is a riddle, and it will be till I die. A million peaches round me, yet I would like to know why I picked a lemon in the garden of love, where they say only peaches grow.
The Denver Nightingale, Billy Murray, and A Lemon in the Garden of Love, recorded by Victor in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on October 23, 1906. I couldn't find any other vintage recordings of A Lemon in the Garden of Love, but Ian Whitcomb has recorded it, and it's on his album Old Chestnuts and Rare Treats. It was composed by Richard Carle, with the lyrics by Michael Elder Rourke, and was apparently the only song on which they collaborated. Richard Carle also brought us Mary's Lamb, Peculiar Julia, and An Innocent Young Maid, and M.E. Rourke also wrote the words to My Baby's Kiss, Honeymooning, and Look in Her Eyes. In 1913, Rourke changed his name to Herbert Reynolds, and under that name wrote They Didn't Believe Me, Auf Wiedersehen, If I Find the Girl, and Half a Moon is Better Than No Moon, which was a hit for Johnny Marvin. A Lemon in the Garden of Love is from the Broadway show The Spring Chicken, which ran for 115 performances at 3 different theaters, and is not to be confused with the 1898 Broadway play A Spring Chicken, written by Edgar Selden. Now just try and name another vintage music radio program where you're going to get that kind of vital information other than right here on Rapidly Rotating Records. One of the duets that Ian and Regina Whitcomb did sing at the festival was I Want to Go Back to Michigan, again accompanied by Adam Swanson. A couple of years ago, I played I Want to Go Back to Michigan by the Van Epps Banjo Orchestra, but I also have it by the National Promenade Band on an Edison disc from September 12, 1914, and here it is. The National Promenade Band, conducted by Eugene A. Jowdis, conductor of the Edison House Band, and I Want to Go Back to Michigan, from September 12, 1914. I Want to Go Back to Michigan was written by Irving Berlin, and Billy Murray also recorded it for Edison. Brian Wright has appeared at the Scott Joplin International Ragtime Festival in Sedalia, Missouri, numerous times, as well as other ragtime festivals around the country. But this was his first appearance at the West Coast Ragtime Festival and was one of the main reasons we attended. Many of you know Brian as the founder of Rivermont Records, and he was in Sacramento with his lovely wife, Yuko. They performed a number of duets together, and here are vintage recordings of a couple of the songs they sang.
Like a melody. There's music where every ribbon has a flowing rhythm. We're laced in harmony, a silken symphony. It's music and just the right note for you. Collars should be seen, see your steppings have no dull or gray tones. Will you crepe the sheen with some pepping off to date? Hey, hey, tones, jazz up your lingerie. Display some harmony. Be happy, choose happy music to wear.
What? no spinach, that's a finish of me.
No spinach? That's an outrage! That novelty song, based on the caption of a cartoon in a New York newspaper, was written by William G. Tracy, Hugh Aitken, and Dinty Moore, and was recorded by Irving Aronson and his commanders on June 25, 1926. The joke, of course, is that everyone hates spinach and wouldn't be asking for it in a restaurant. Well, almost everyone hates spinach. I happen to love spinach. When Brian and Yuko sang the song at the festival, she took a little license with the lyrics and turned it into what? No sushi? I happen to love sushi, too. William G. Tracy also wrote the words to Them Their Eyes, and Dinty Moore was actually New York restaurateur James Moore, the inspiration behind the character Dinty Moore in the comic strip Bringing Up Father, drawn by George McManus. And by the way, he has no connection to the beef stew. The cartoon the song was based on was drawn by Thomas Aloysius Dorgan. I suddenly have a craving for spinach dip. Anyway, before What? No Spinach, it was Australian novelty pianist Beryl Newell and Jazz Up Your Lingerie, written by Oscar Strauss, an unpublished song from the Maurice Chevalier picture The Smiling Lieutenant, where it was sung by Claudette Colbert and Miriam Hopkins. In this recording, made in Sydney in December of 1931, the vocalist was Des Tooley. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL Avalon and streaming online at www.kislavalon.com. On Sunday morning, the last day of the West Coast Ragtime Festival, for his last set, Brian Wright asked Martin Spitznagel, who is another Rivermont contemporary ragtime artist, to accompany him as he sang the following George Formby song.
In our family, we've got an heirloom. They handed it to me a year ago. It's been in our possession since Grandad was a lad. I'll tell you what it is and then you'll know. It's me Grandad's flannelette night shirt. In it I was christened one day. Down at the church, they were in the whirl. No one seemed to know if I were boy or girl. They'd had one or two and they were in a mess. But it's all right, said the preacher, rather curt. I've been and had a quiz and I found out what it is by his granddad's flannelette shirt. Lordy, lordy, his granddad's flannelette shirt. In me granddad's flannelette night shirt. I got married one day. In the train, my bride gave a shout. What is that you are pulling out? I said it's old-fashioned and it's tattered and torn, but I brought it honeymooning with me girt. When she said, what is it, dear? I whispered in her ear, it's me granddad's flannelette shirt. Lordy, lordy, me granddad's flannelette shirt. The other day I got an invitation to go and join a nudist colony. And as the life is healthy and in the open air, I trotted off as happy as can be. With me granddad's flannelette night shirt, I walked up to the door. Someone said, now don't make a fuss. Just take off your clothes and you'll be like us. I was bashful, so I stayed by myself. For with the girls I didn't want to flirt. But when I fell asleep, they all came and had a peep at me granddad's flannelette shirt. Lordy, lordy, me granddad's flannelette shirt.
George Formby, February 17, 1939, and Grandpa's Flannelette Nightshirt, a Formby original from his 1940 film Let George Do It. Formby's father, George Formby Sr., whose birth name was James Lawler Booth, was a comedian and musician who discouraged his son from becoming an entertainer, so he started out as an apprentice horse racing jockey. But when his father died in 1921, he took to the stage and had a very successful 60-year career. I don't remember who played it, but one of the titles I wrote down at the festival was the Whoopee Stomp. So here to start off a Whoopee set is a version of that by Jimmy McHugh's Bostonians.
Thank you. bride, another June, another sunny honeymoon, another season, another reason for making whoopee. A lot of shoes, a lot of rice, the groom is nervous, he answers twice. It's really killing that he's so willing to make whoopee. Picture a little love nest down where the roses cling. Picture the same sweet love nest. Think what a year can bring. He's washing dishes and baby clothes. He's so ambitious, he even sews. But don't forget, folks, that's what you get, folks, for making whoopee.
don't care much for books. We care more for our looks. On every campus we parade, we're the Whoopee Hat Brigade. We like 'em red and blue, and green and purple too, or any other color made. We're the Whoopee Hat Brigade. We're not high hat. We don't wear fedoras. Where did you get that hat? Do we sing that a chorus? We'll tell the world we are collegiate rah rah rah, and making whoopee is our trade. We're the Whoopee Hat Brigade.
Reaser's Six Jumping Jacks, July 16, 1929, and the novelty tune The Whoopee Hat Brigade, written by Monty Siegel and Mo Jaffe. The vocalist was the unmistakable Tom Stax. This was a Brunswick recording, but the band also recorded it for Columbia as Harry Reaser's Syncopators. The sheet music says as created and interpreted by Fred Waring's Pennsylvanians. Whoopee hats, or whoopee caps, were a late 1920s fad, primarily on college campuses, and Sam wears one in the song Collegiate Sam. You could also get a free whoopee hat with the purchase of Jack Sprat cornflakes. Before the Jacks, it was Paul Specht and his orchestra with Whoopee, with the vocal by Johnny Morris. Not Makin' Whoopee, written by the same team of Gus Kahn and Walter Donaldson, just Whoopee with an exclamation mark, from October 29, 1925. And speaking of Makin' Whoopee, we heard it performed there by Ben Burney and his Hotel Roosevelt Orchestra on December 7, 1928. The vocal duo was Zelma O'Neill and Dick Robertson. And we began that Whoopee set with Jimmy McHugh's Bostonians and the Whoopee Stomp, composed by George N. Terry. This was an instrumental, but there are lyrics which were written by Dorothy Fields. Jimmy McHugh's Bostonians was actually Ben Pollock and his Park Central Orchestra, but they had an exclusive contract with Victor. So to record for Harmony, the Columbia budget label, they used the synonym Jimmy McHugh's Bostonians. Rapidly Rotating Records is now on Facebook. If you're already on Facebook, simply enter Rapidly Rotating Records in the Facebook search box in the upper right-hand portion of the screen, and the link to our fan page will appear in a drop-down box. If you're not already a member of Facebook, you can find a link to the public fan page at our website, www.rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. I hope you'll check it out and become a Facebook fan of the show. Another title I wrote down but didn't note who played it was I Wish You Were Jealous of Me. Now, I had a jealous segment on the July 29th show earlier this year, but I put together another jealous set without any repeats. Here's Joe Candulo and his Everglades Orchestra. ¶¶
of you. I wish that my loving and lover could make you feel lonely and blue. Just one little tear of regret, dear, is all that I'm longing to see. Would be a sure sign that your love is all mine. I wish you were jealous of me.
Watching round your neighborhood so you wouldn't be missing like Red Riding Hood. Just look at those lips and look at those eyes. Who wouldn't be jealous of you? Thank you.
when you're jealous, and you know why, dear, 'cause when you're jealous, you're in love. Each time that you get jealous, you can't deny, dear, that I'm the one you're thinking of. When someone looks at me, you let me see exactly how you're feeling. And when you hit the ceiling, I thank my stars above. So keep on getting jealous until I die, dear, 'cause when you're jealous, you're in love.
Around April 22, 1924, that was Arthur Lang and his orchestra and Jealous, written by Tommy Maley, Dick Finch, and Jack Little. Lang is spelled L-A-N-G-E, which I take to be Lang, but I've had someone tell me it's pronounced Lange. Now, I regularly butcher names on this show, but for this one, my money's on Lang. If anyone out there has the definitive answer, let me know. Before that, it was the apparently only recording of I'm Happy When You're Jealous, written by the team of Burt Kalmar and Harry Ruby. The vocalist was Art Jarrett on September 27, 1931. Unlike I'm Happy When You're Jealous, there were lots of recordings of Who Wouldn't Be Jealous of You, including Ben Selvin, Sam Lennon, Bob Herring, and the California Ramblers. We heard Ray Miller's peppy version recorded in Chicago on the last day of 1928. The vocalist was Dick Tila, and Who Wouldn't Be Jealous of You was written by the trio of Larry Shea, Haven Gillespie, and George Frommel.
Doing our part to keep alive the music of the 1920s and 30s, this is Rapidly Rotating Records, Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL-FM 88.7 Avalon, and available anytime on demand online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com.
Well, since this show is supposedly all about the West Coast Ragtime Festival, I suppose I should include some actual ragtime. So we'll finish out with a ragtime set, beginning with Murray's Ragtime Banjo Quartet.
Thank you.
America, what's the matter with you? Seems that you are ragging everything you do. Every day you're getting worse. Look around and see. You've become a nation of syncopation. You're not like you used to be. Ragtime has a hold on you, and I know someday when we go to see a show, it's going to be acted this way.
I'll be the leading lady.
Fine, then I'll be the villain.
Oh, but who's going to be the hero?
That's easy. I'll be the hero, too.
You're a modest little fellow, aren't you?
That's what they all say.
Here we go. I'm alone in the house, quiet as a mouse. There's no one around. Nobody here, nobody near. Who made that sound? I declare, someone there, over there, by that chair. Can it be? It's Bill the villain. He's always willing for any rascality. Oh, go, go away or I shall scream. Help!
Woman, 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 this is the hour. At last, my last, of course, you got you in my power. And I'm never going to let you be. Till you make a solemn promise that you'll leave your husband Thomas and come away with me.
Oh, let me be, oh, let me be.
I made a bet I'd get you, yet you'll be sorry, pet, that we ever met. Now I'm going to make you suffer, eat for supper, laugh, because you got to pay your long lost debt.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
I won't.
Then I shall kill.
I hear footsteps coming quick. Time saved, it's Dick. Man, your time has come, cause my Dick is coming home. There's going to be a funeral if he captures us alone. Better jump out of the window and take it on the run, cause my Dick is mighty handy with a double barrel gun. Dick, Dick, hurry up quick. Get your trusty rifle and do the trick. For he's a villain, always willing to do a little killing if he could. He'd raise a check, a bank he'd wreck. Why, he is just no good. Dick, my loving husband, I've been waiting here for you. You nearly lost your baby doll, so loving and so true.
Was he trying hard to trifle? I'll let him have my rifle.
Bang, 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 and the drama's all through.
Of course, the West Coast Ragtime Festival presented primarily pianists, but there were a number of ragtime orchestras and ensembles represented, including the Pacific Coast Ragtime Orchestra, the Porcupine Ragtime Ensemble, and the Raspberry Jam Band. We began that ragtime set in April of 1915, toward the end of the ragtime era, with a tune entitled Hors d'oeuvre, written by Dave Comer, who was the pianist in that recording. That was Murray's Ragtime Banjo Quartet with the Bohemian Band. The group had a long residency at London's famous Savoy Hotel, and that recording was made in London. After Eccentric, it was George Hamilton Green playing one of his ragtime compositions, The Ragtime Robin, from around 1925. Accompanying Green on piano was Frank Banta. That recording is from the 6-CD set Masters of the Xylophone, produced by George Hamilton Green's nephew, Lou Green, and you can see the complete track list and hear other audio samples at www.georgehamiltongreen.com. We finished up with Billy Murray and Ada Jones from all the way back in 1917 with the musical sketch A Ragtime Drama. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and I hope to see you at next year's West Coast Ragtime Festival. Until then, as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.